We're in the information age, but facts are in short supply. Reject the noise, ask bold questions, and pursue the truth with FBI whistleblowers and founding suspendables Garrett O'Boyle and Steve Friend. This is the American Radicals Podcast.
It is the American Radicals Podcast, and welcome to it. Today is Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. We are live streaming on Rumble, rumble.com/AmRadPod. Make sure that you give us a thumbs up and follow the show. We are trying to grow as fast as we can. We want to try to reach as wide and broad of an audience as possible. If you listen to the audio format of the podcast later on iTunes and Spotify and all the like, make sure that you subscribe there so you can get the automatic uploads that we drop every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. So new week, we are recovering from 420. And also recovering from Earth Day, which was yesterday celebrated government-wide. And that triggered in me sort of a thought process that launched the theme for today's show, which is you will own nothing. Very World Economic Forum-ish. I want to get to all of that. First, want to bring on my co-host, my compatriot and friend, Garrett O'Boyle at GOB Actual. How are you on a Tuesday morning, Garrett? You are muted. That's a way to launch the show, brother.
That's about standard for my life these days. Doing fine. We were up a lot last night with Lucy for some reason. Not sure why, because she's been sleeping through the night mostly. So a little bit tired this morning, but thankfully all the females in my household are still sleeping. So hopefully that'll last for a little while.
All right. It's that quiet time. It's that moment where they say ready on the left, ready on the right, all ready on the firing line. Before the target turns, and it feels like forever. Yep. And then ka-chunk, and you are sending rounds downrange. That's how it works. But I was thinking about this theme, you will own nothing, and it's sort of become this talking point on the right to push back on the globalists and the World Economic Forum. And we have some receipts to show that that is not just a conspiracy theory. But really, what got me thinking about this for this particular episode was yesterday was Earth Day, which is with pretend pagan holiday where we're going to worship the planet. Let's set aside the fact that the founder of Earth Day, his name is Ian Einhorn, murdered his girlfriend and composted her in a trunk in his apartment.
I saw you tweeted that and I didn't know that. And I was like, oh, of course, that adds up in this modern era of false gods that we live in.
But I started thinking about a initiative that was started. Al Gore was really big on it probably about a decade ago, and that was the carbon credit exchange system. And just real brief explanation what it is. Let's pretend that Garrett owns a steel manufacturing plant and I am a yoga instructor. We both get the same amount of carbon credits, but he obviously needs more of them because he's got those pipes that are spewing out all that carbon into the atmosphere. So he can come to me and buy my carbon credits that I am allotted by the dear government. And since I am just doing the down dog stretch, I'm not really emitting very much and I can sell those to him. I own nothing. He's buying nothing and he's essentially just giving me money. It's a way to redistribute the wealth. And then you take that sort of concept up to the international level and you can say, well, the United States is producing a lot of carbon, but Kenya's not. So they need to buy their credits. And it's a way to redistribute the wealth and implement this communist Marxist system via the god of the sun, right? The global warming god.
Thanks, New World Order and false god that is government, global government at this point. Like the guy who took the initiative in creating the internet, you know, he sure has interesting ideas.
It's a different way of reading the actual language of you will own nothing as opposed to not owning anything. It's actually owning nothing and assigning some sort of value to it, which I thought was kind of interesting and got me thinking and got me back onto the WEF, World Economic Forum, notion that you will own nothing. And I did a little deep dive because I remember very specifically watching this video and it was not easy to find, Garrett. And you know that I am good at ferreting out good content for the show. Funny videos. I'm your Huckleberry, but I couldn't find this very popular, very well researched and known around. Everybody knows this. You will own nothing, and I could not find it. It took me like I don't know a couple hours, And I finally was able to dig it up on somebody's Twitter account, and I'll explain why I was unable to find it in a second, but I do want to give this a play. It is, doesn't have audio. It's just some music. I'll have to read the dialogue for the audio audience, but I'll pull this up, give it a play, launch us off here as we talk about You Will Own Nothing. And this is from the World Economic Forum's Twitter page, actually. And if you look at the date, April 9th, 2018, 8 predictions for the world in 2030. And that's just a mere 6 years away. We're halfway there. You will own nothing and you'll be happy. Whatever you want, you'll rent and it'll be delivered by drone. The U.S. won't be the world's leading superpower. A handful of countries will dominate. You won't die waiting for an organ donor. We won't transplant organs. We'll print new ones instead. You'll eat much less meat.
No, I won't.
An occasional treat, not a staple, for the good of the environment and our health. Well, I mean, unless the meat is bugs, right? 1 billion people will be displaced by climate change. We'll have to do a better job at welcoming and integrating refugees. Ooh, we're there right now. Polluters will have to pay to emit carbon dioxide. There's the carbon exchange. There will be a global price on carbon. This will help make fossil fuels history. I know people are made of carbon. You could be preparing to go to Mars. Scientists will have worked out how to keep you healthy in space, the start of a journey to find alien life. Western values will have been tested to the breaking point. Checks and balances that underpin our democracies must not be forgotten. And that is the conclusion of it. That was the video, Garrett, for the World Economic Forum. And I had to go to Twitter, though. I had to like dig through the archives of the WEF's Twitter. And if you look at that tweet, it actually has a link. And I pulled up the link because I wanted to see if there was actually literature on it, more than just this simple video.
And you got a 404 error, didn't you?
I got... Sorry, we can't find the page you were looking for.
Why not, Steve? Why not?
Well, I don't think they're too pleased with the reaction, particularly, you know, you speaking of not wanting to eat meat. I think that probably galvanized more than anything else when it came to put the pushback. Everybody's willing to give up their freedoms. They like the fact that a drone might be delivering their order from Amazon, but dag nabbit, you better not take away my steak dinner.
The peasants, they thought the peasants were culled more than we are. So they thought, oh, we better backpedal. But going through that video, I was like, okay, the music, the font, the happy people and whatever. And it's like, dude, these people, they're straight up evil, man. I know I beat this horse so much, but they're evil. And they legitimately think that they are better than everybody else and that you will do what they want and you will do what they say and you're going to like it. How often do I mention hubris? It comes back to hubris. It's the original sin. It's why Satan fell from heaven. It's why Eve ate the fruit. It's hubris. It's pride. And then with the link being broken, because they're trying to scrub it now. For some reason, like, think of that. They missed Twitter. They didn't think somebody would find it on Twitter. But also, like, it's the internet. There are people who have way better skills than us who, until the governments of the world, combine together to be like, okay, we really need to seize control of the internet. People are going to be able to find this stuff. But it also made me think of my pinned tweet. It's the whistleblower verse. It's Ephesians 5, 11 through 14, 11 through 14. It says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. So why, Steve, why would they not want this to be seen? Why would they not want it to be exposed? Why would they not want light to be shined upon it when they're presenting it to us a few years ago as if it is light, as if it is true, as if it is everything good that you could ever want? But now, hide it. Why?
no good reasons. There's no benign or innocent reason for it, but we're halfway to the predictions that they, the timeline that they established. So we're 2018, April of 2018. We're exactly halfway there.
Yep.
And you and I were adding our little parenthetical commentary as I was reading off that video. Almost every one of those things is being pushed and it's snowballing. And particularly when it was talking about we're going to have the Western values essentially going to be rejected. That there is a war in the West without question.
No
doubt. And then I think all those other issues are derivative of it. They hate the freedoms that Western culture has brought forth to humanity. And we're well on the way to owning nothing, which is what I wanted to really hammer in and focus on today. There was some information out there that I thought was really important about, you know, how hard times are for people. I mean, everybody just, the immediate thing is, oh, look at the price of gases. You know, look at the grocery store. I don't think anybody can deny that. But there was, I was able to find some actual data that put it into perspective, which I thought was absolutely mind-boggling, as you like to say. And I wanted to bring that out because I think that we're all getting the sense that things are on the cusp or on sort of a razor's edge. I was really at the very end of college in 2008 when the first big crisis, economic crisis hit. I didn't really have a sense even at the time because, I mean, I was just barely out of school doing working and I didn't feel the impact. I feel like we're really at that point right now. And I have a lot more stakes in the game now, you know, married, kids, entire future. So I know I feel that sort of anxiety. I can only imagine what other people are who are actually on and feeling the heat far more than I am economically. I know, you know, you're definitely in that. You're in that fight right now, Garrett, having been unpaid for 19 months. But I wanted to throw these out because you're not crazy. We weren't crazy when we said you will own nothing. And you're not crazy to think like, man, I swear, just a couple of years ago, it wasn't this tough. Am I crazy? Am I wearing a tinfoil hat?
Yeah, no, you're not. Yeah. And this goes to this, you know, mentioning this, am I crazy? It goes to the gaslighting that they also do all the time. Like I remember, and maybe we'll touch on it here today a little bit, when I first heard of Agenda 2030, this was probably like when we weren't going to work during COVID, you know, the whole 2 weeks that ended up being many, many, many months. And in some places in the FBI, like over a year where people weren't going to work. Like folks, I know we say it all the time. You legitimately do not need the FBI. And Steve and I know this because when we worked there during COVID, FBI agents weren't going to work. They weren't doing their work. And actually not even just FBI agents, everybody, nobody was going to work. There were very few across the whole bureau who were actually working, doing good work, like working on, you know, cartels or gangs or, you know, some things that actually matter in our nation and to our community. Everybody else just staying home, collecting a paycheck, wondering like, hey, how did this 2 weeks turn into these many months? But I think it was during that period where I was like, okay, what the heck is going on with this virus? You know, things were rapidly shifting. And I mean, I'm sure if all of us take the effort to think back and not suppress these memories, but this Agenda 2030, this is not a conspiracy theory. This may have, I haven't looked, it may have been scrubbed from the WEF's website as well, but these things are actually real. These are the things they want. Like the videos that Steve played, it was like a minute and a half, just like the Cliff Notes version of what they want. They had the full agenda on their website, and perhaps they still do. But sorry, that's just my little, aside before you get into this article.
Well, this article I wanted to bring forward because I think housing expenses are indicative of something it's an essential, you know, unless you are living in a tent in, I don't know, one of these major cities and they're trying to send you aid, especially if you're illegal. We all have to have a roof over our head. And it's the most significant cost that you have as a grown-up is housing expenses, be it owning, having a mortgage, or renting. This is from Redfin. Half of homeowners and renters struggle to afford housing payments. So in the survey that they did in the last year, 22% of people skipped meals, 20 worked extra hours at their job, 20 sold belongings. More than one in every six people who struggle to afford housing borrowed money from their friends and family. 17% dipped into their retirement. I mean, these are all hovering around that like 1 in 5, 1 in 6 people, which if you think, if you go outside, you live in the suburbs. I mean, that's a couple houses on your street, everyone's streets, that it's that common. And it's really going to be not unique to one particular neighborhood or another, because as you go to the nicer neighborhoods, the housing expenses are more expensive than they are right now. And I wanted to, along those lines, there was a second article that came from Zero Hedge, which I will share now, that everybody's favorite Tyler Durden came out and said, housing costs are crushing the American middle class, but how can we fix the problem? And he has some solutions. I won't necessarily talk to those. I was more interested in more of the information that was along these lines of how hard times were. You can see, sorry, folks, that I've been shoe shopping. So those are the ads that you see on.
Can you, Steve?
Yeah. Well, my wife probably doesn't watch this one. Congratulations, honey, for your birthday. I got your shoes. The average middle class income is $58,000 to $98,000. So let's, you know, put it in there around roughly $80,000 would be a middle class income. And that's, most people are two income households. So that perspective on, you know, where you find yourself in relation to the middle class. Well, the average yearly cost of a family home rental is $25,000 a year. That would be $2,100 a month. And that's nearly half of your single earner's income on the low end of the middle class average. And the general rubric is 25 to 30% of what you earn should be spent towards housing. Now it's around 50%, according to what is this Zero Hedge article is talking about. And in order to safely afford monthly median home rental price of $2,100, a tenant must make over $6,000 after taxes per month, which is going to be well in excess of what the average income is. And that's effectively created this vice grip where there's no middle income earners. They can't rent, they can't buy, and there's actually a shortage of housing now because the options for them are so limited. When we hear like that's a leftist talking point, like we have a housing crisis. That's because they just want the government to just pay for rent. But the actual term housing crisis, it's real. People can't afford to put a roof over their head. And that's why we have this astronomical credit card debt that's coming out and went into things. People are skipping meals. They're dipping into their retirement savings. This is a bubble that is coming. It's going to be absolutely devastating when it does. I would think along the lines of 2008 was a housing crisis. Now we sort of have a dollar crisis rather than just a housing crisis.
Yeah, for sure. Probably a large part of me wonders how much of this is intentional. I think a lot of it is, and I'll play a video here in a minute. It's short, but they admit it. They admit these things. They admit that it's going to get worse. They admit that we're just at the beginning of this, and another pandemic or, you know, something along those lines are coming, and a lot of that, I really truly believe, is orchestrated. It's orchestrated by the evil powers of darkness, like a Klaus Schwab and others at the WEF, a George Soros, a Bill Gates. And I know people love, oh, conspiracy theory. No, listen to their own words, and they say these things. And go ahead.
Oh, along the the globalist organizations, World Economic Forum, there's legitimate organizations like BlackRock.
Oh yeah.
These giant investors. And when it comes to housing, I think they bought like 7% of all the properties last year. Over a quarter of all housing purchases are done by these giant conglomerates, mm-hmm. which are in bed with these global governments. And it's the old thing that you rolled your eyes at when it'll be a movie where it was like, oh, it was always, you know, the evil villain be like the company.
Yeah,
controlling things behind the scenes.
And it's like it literally is the company. And even the name BlackRock, you know, it's like the world's a stage, you know, the old saying, the world is a stage. And, you know, it's going to come as no surprise here coming from me. The Bible is very clear about who this world belongs to. This is Satan's domain. This is his dominion. I was on Alpha Warrior show two weeks ago, maybe. And we talked about this when Jesus came out of the desert, or was, you know, coming out of the desert after his long extended fast of 40 days, Satan came to interrupt him and tempt him. And Jesus rebuked him three times, every single time with the word, with the Bible. And one of those, Satan took him up on the highest mountain and said, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, I will give all of these to you. Satan knows that Jesus is God in the flesh. How and why does Satan think and know that he can give God the kingdoms of the earth if the earth didn't, if the world, this fallen world, didn't belong to him? In his hubris, again, he says, I will give these to you. And so, and there are other passages too that are very clear about Satan's dominion on this earth. Nonetheless, it's all marching towards God or on God's timeline. And so these Black Rocks, Klaus Schwab's, WEFs, Bill Gates, because think of this too, Bill Gates buying up, I don't know how many millions of dollars worth of farmland. Why is a guy who is a software developer buying farmland so interested in vaccines? That's actually another video from this page that I'll show you guys. And sadly, they don't, they've not put out a video in, man, a couple of years. But if you're just listening, it's on Instagram, and they're elsewhere too. I first found them here on Instagram, but it's Eastern_Freedom_. They've got a lot of these really good short videos, and I'll just play one of them, even though I want to play like four, because you see this one over here on the right. It's got Bill Gates smiling. That's another good one. But I'll play this one that has Justin Trudeau, the Canadian quote-unquote leader, and Klaus Schwab.
And this young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, half of this government, are actually young global leaders of the world. We penetrate the cabinets.
So change is not just happening. The change can be shaped by us.
We have to prepare for a more angry world. How to prepare? Take the necessary action to create a fairer world. I see the need for a great reset.
So people assume we are just going back to the good old world which we had and everything will be normal again. This is, let's say, fiction. It will not happen.
There is only one way this pandemic is going to go. It's going to get worse and worse and worse.
The next crisis is already waiting for us around the corner, and it is the climate crisis.
It's the young generation.
So there you have it. It's short. It's their own words, like I was saying, and a number of those other videos, most of them, some of them are actually pretty awesome and like empowering just with people and their faith and movements in other countries. There's one from Poland and some other countries. It's I recommend you follow it, listen, or at least go listen to some of their videos, but it's their own words. They're telling you what they're going to do. Again, I think it's in their hubris. But oftentimes, as most of us have encountered just in our own, you know, little segments of life and whatnot, you have a tyrant boss, or you've had, you know, you've dealt with people like this in the workplace or in school or in college or maybe in all those things, all those places. This is at a global scale that these people are doing this, and they're going to do it no matter what, or at least push for it no matter what. And when there's so many of them like-minded where they're completely godless. Somebody like Klaus Schwab is completely godless. Like, make no mistake about that. Somebody like Joe Biden, who claims to be a Catholic, he's completely godless. Like, they are Romans 1 territory. They've been turned over and they are running the world, including America. And so I'm not saying this even to stoke fear, because I don't want that. Because I actually, when I really start to peel back the layers of the onion, because I can get fearful about it too, in my own sin nature. I got a bunch of little kids, a bunch of little girls who I want to have a better life than me. We've talked about this. We talk about this all the time. We want America to be better than it was when we were kids, and we have failed. We failed at that. So we're continuing to push for that. And right now, in this small way, you know, I have a couple thousand views per episode. I mean, it's better than none. Because it's like, okay, there's some people out there who are listening, maybe sharing, maybe really letting some of these principles soak in. And I know I've already mentioned a bunch of these today, but I'm going to mention another one. This is one I had kind of in the can. It comes from Daniel, chapter 2, verse 21. And it says, he, God changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. But it's that middle part right there. And if you're familiar with the book of Daniel, kings are removed and set up throughout that book. And really, you see it in a lot of the Old Testament. But that part where it says he removes kings and sets up kings. God is sovereign. So whatever's happening on earth, whatever evils we encounter and see and have to deal with, and we wonder why there's so much evil and why there's just wicked. I was talking to a friend of mine who I went to Iraq with yesterday, and we're talking about another guy that we went to Iraq with who was a police officer, and he killed himself. And you wonder why. Why do these things happen? How can God use something like that for good? Why do they make that decision and go down that road? And we're talking about some of the difficulties that police officers in this nation deal with, and some of the things that our friend had dealt with and seen. And Steve, you've seen it. You've seen the evils. And I struggle with that sometimes too. Why this world is so evil, and why there are so few quote unquote good people. I mean, deep down, even me and Steve, a lot of you listening, you might say, man, those guys are good. But we're not. We're fallen, like just like everybody else, just like Klaus Schwab. And we need a savior just like Klaus Schwab. Thankfully, we have that savior in Christ and his work on the cross. But it's you still in your humanness, you wonder why these things happen. And we've talked about this before too, often. We don't pick the hill. We don't get to pick the hill. The hill picks us. We just obey. And so that is why we work for the kingdom. We work for eternal glory. We know that this world and everything in it is passing away. And that actually gives me hope, including the kings that God sets up and removes. And so whether it's Joe Biden or Donald Trump or Klaus Schwab or Justin Trudeau or whoever, we still just do what is right, working towards that heavenly goal.
Yeah, I've always said doing the right thing isn't easy, but it's normally pretty simple.
Yep.
Pretty self-apparent.
Yep. Simple, not easy.
And that's what our pledge is always to do. It's like you said, not our decision on what hill to die on, but when you realize that you're on it, you don't have a choice. You don't have an option to turn around. You make another movie reference. You go to that scene in Braveheart where he says, many years from now, when you're dying in your bed, what would you give to come back and have just one chance, I don't want to be in that situation, no. Which is why, I'll have conversations with people and I'll be talking about these things in very animated. And I have a dark outlook on what I'm seeing over the horizon. And I think a lot of people will say, like, they assume that means I'm hanging it up. Like, oh, you can't quit. You can't quit even though things are bad. I'm like, I'm not. Uh-huh. I'm just telling you what I see. I'm acknowledging gravity here, what is real. I'm not saying it's optimal. I'm just saying it is, which is important. And we're now fulfilling the role as the town crier. We used to be the warrior. In your case, went overseas in a military capacity. We were both on the home front in some sort of capacity to be a warrior at home in policing and what we perceive to be our roles in the FBI. That's gone now. So now we have to be a town crier to try to bring the information out the best that we can, articulate it to people, and hopefully galvanize them to act in their lives accordingly so that we can make things better. We always have to be endeavoring to make things better. And that's the eternal struggle here. I wanted to keep though on task with a few more examples to people, because you're not crazy. We're just we're giving you this, we're fulfilling the role, we're saying the redcoats are coming, however you analogy you want to say, we're trying to alert this. So we covered on the housing costs being legitimately a problem. And part of the zero hedge comment was people were working second jobs. And this was an article that I found that was discussing the jobs numbers that were being reported, because you can get one thing. It's April, towards the end of April, we're 6-7 months away from an election. Well, I mean, they might be voting in California right now, who knows? But it's an election year. It's going to be sunshine and rainbows about the economy and jobs. That's consistently always the number one thing that people vote on. And I found this article, and it was about the Bidenomics full-time fumble. Bidenomics masks the true employment picture. And there's some data in here about what the job scene in America actually is. And in this is a Daniel Horowitz piece, and he sets a good premise, because he says the comparing where you were to your predecessor, so Joe Biden to Donald Trump, it's not really a fair comparison because of the coronavirus shutdowns and all the job losses. One third of all small businesses closed during coronavirus, by the way, just so you know, the transfer of wealth that went from the small businesses to the large businesses was incredible. But the only fair comparison for Biden to make is to measure the number of employed individuals today compared to February of 2020, right before the shutdowns. So that's the premise that they set up. So since February of 2020, the civilian non-institutional population of working age residents grew by 8.1 million. That's our population growth. Job growth only grew by 5.5 million. So we have more people that are here in the country than jobs that have actually been created if you look at the February 2020. So we've been losing full-time jobs. All the talk about we've added jobs, we've actually been losing jobs. And thanks to the endless revisions on the employment data, because they'll release the data and then a month later we'll go back and revise it downward when nobody's paying attention, full-time jobs are now down 1.8 million since June of last year. Government jobs, which are not a net addition to the economy, they're a detraction from the economy. Government jobs have comprised between 20 and 58% of all job creation. So again, no economic galvanization at that point. They're sucking at the teat of the government. And then the last point that Daniel makes in this article, which is at theblaze.com, since October 2019, native-born U.S. workers have lost 1.4 million jobs. Where's the job growth? Over the same period, foreign-born workers have gained 3 million jobs, which takes me back to Tyler Durden at Zero Hedge, who put this out on his Twitter account, sort of gives you the visual of that last point. Native-born U.S. workers lost almost 1.5 million jobs in the last 5 years. And over the same period, foreign-born workers have gained 3 million jobs. So the America First movement is really not benefiting the Americans, right? If you actually look at the actual data here, Garrett. Muted again, brother.
There we go again. Muted. Why not? Over here clearing my throat so I'm not like weeping on you guys. But some of these numbers you brought up today, maybe it's because I'm tired. I don't know. But I'm like sitting here and I'm like, oh, I can't even fathom these numbers. But honestly, it ties into what we started off with, what you picked for the title today with the World Economic Forum stuff. You're gonna bend over, you're gonna take it, you're gonna like it, even though none of it's gonna be good for you. Just accept it. Just accept it that you are gonna own nothing. You're gonna be happy. The government is going to be your daddy, even in America, the land of the free. How freaking laughable is that? How laughable is that? For a long time now, it started sometime after I got out of the Army. Granted, I don't really go to like sporting events very often anymore. But during the national anthem, I stopped saying the land of the free part, probably at least 10 years ago. And it is multiple thousands of times worse today than it was then. I can't fathom the amount of those. Actually, I'm going to take it a different direction. You got Joe Biden and Corinne Jean-Pierre up there touting the job numbers about all the growth. There's no growth. It's negative growth. That's not growth.
Don't believe your lying eyes and actually feel like a crazy person if you look out and see, you know, how prices are being affected, how your day-to-day lives being affected. You've got parents who are never seeing their kids because they have to work extra jobs in order to keep up. And mm-hmm. as a lot of the jobs that we're seeing are part-time jobs or these Uber jobs that, you know, it's not, you're not really, you're a 1099 employee instead of a W-2 employee, just trying to, it's the gig economy, the rise in that, which they're trying to actually co-opt and destroy. And people are really trying to dig themselves out of it. And that's, I mean, you look at your reality, you have your bills come in as the month goes, and you know if you you know, there's too many days left at the end of the money for the month. And I think more people are realizing that, and they're starting to get, the anxiety is real, but they're looking around, they're being told by the experts, the people in charge, the adults are back in the room, that no, everything's great, which to me is the most callous thing ever. When people are really struggling for the your leaders to come out and say, no, things are great. What's wrong with you?
Yep.
And that's just wrong. That's contributing, I think, to a lot of the anxiety and even the mental problems that people are having in today's age. But it's not just housing. It's not just jobs. Touched on the fact a lot of those jobs are government jobs, government spending, because your dollars are worth less now. So they are worth less. And this has been well documented. It was well covered by lots of other people. We won't belabor it too long, but over the weekend there was the House convened to elect to or vote to borrow like $100 billion to send it to other countries. $60 billion to Ukraine, $9 billion to Hamas. So we got that going for us. We're going to fund terrorism.
Yeah.
And then they celebrated that this is the people that you elected. So you will own nothing. Do you at least own your government? Is this the, and I'm always hesitant to use, is this a government by the people? Is this we the people? Do we own our own government? Or are they a wholly owned subsidiary of another nation? The libs of TikTok, Shia, I can't remember her last name. She made a comment. She took a picture of herself. She was addressing at the House of Representatives, and she was at the lectern with the, and it's, she was like, oh, this is me reflecting on when I spoke at the capital of Ukraine.
Yes.
But here's the visual, you know, for those who didn't see it, this is from Thomas Massie. This was the briefly when they elected to send to borrow money that your children will have to pay back with interest to fund pensions of another country while Garrett sits unpaid for 19 months. Hey, Garrett, do you think that those Ukrainian flags that they're waving in the People's House of the United States House, do you think that they were made in America?
No, I doubt it. They're probably made in China. I saw this video, dude. It's so disgusting. Again, another thing we've been beating the horse on lately. You're funding your own demise. These people hate you. They live, Steve and I, our trip recently to DC. I'm going to start calling it the Ivory City. Maybe somebody already does. It's not a tower. It's a whole city. They live in their Ivory City, and they know better than you, you peasant. Just vote for me, give me your money to my campaign, and then I'm going to get into office, and then I'm going to take your money even more, and then I'm going to give it to a place like Ukraine. Like, as somebody who's been to war, as somebody who's lost friends in war, or because of war, or it's played a role, I don't want Americans to go to war unless we absolutely have to. I don't want American money to go fund wars unless it absolutely has to. You know what? I'm sorry, Ukraine. I don't really care what happens there. That sucks. Maybe go ahead. It's callous. You're not my country. I don't care what your beef is with Russia. And we know, I know there are many, many layers. You know who covers this pretty well? Martyr Maid. He does a lot of stuff really well, but he knows a lot about the history and even the American backed coup in 2014. You know what? I didn't want that either. But we did it because America aren't the good guys we've been led to think we are. We just aren't. And now you have politicians literally waving the flag of another country in their Ivory City. And you're paying for it. And your kids are going to pay for it even more.
if you're fired up about them borrowing money for your kids to pay back about funding the war, because the first 60 or $100 billion hasn't done it. So the next 60 right. or $100 billion, wait until they negotiate a surrender, some form of ceasefire, and then we have to pay $500 billion to rebuild Ukraine,
right?
Which will be laundered back to these people. Mm-hmm. We're in the final stages of a republic. They're looting the treasury entirely on the backs of us and our kids and our progeny, because they hate us and they want us to own nothing. Yeah. That's what their ultimate goal is, because they're going to have it all for themselves. They view everything as, it's not the rising tide lifts all boats. No, it's a pie. It's a finite amount. And I'm just going to keep shaving off slices for myself until there is nothing left, because I'm the most high. I am a special person. You are not. You are the plebeian swine. And people are just going to be so wrapped up in their own issues that they're letting it and allowing it to happen. And they're not paying attention to what could be the root causes. How can we push back? And I can understand you might be despondent. You thought you had a government, right? It's gone. Well, maybe at least, you know, my guy, all I can do is I have my vote, right? I can vote for the guy who I think is going to go there and fight. He might lose out. There's 435 of them, but he's going to hold strong. Well, you're not going to have your vote very much, or you're not going to have your representation, which brings us to our next story, which is not the most, you know, was not breaking. It was about a month ago. This is from Fox News. GOP effort to stop illegal immigrants from being counted in House districts, the Electoral College, it was shot down in the Senate. There are states that are going to count illegal aliens in their population to get more apportionment when it comes to representation in the House and at the Electoral College system. That's actually happening, because they try to pass a nationwide law to make things consistent. But the way that our election system is, we don't have a nationwide election. We have 50 statewide elections. And there's already problems when it comes to counting people in the census. I live in Florida. There was miscounting. We'll just say it was benign and innocent reasons. They miscounted during the last census. Florida gained a couple of congressional districts, a couple of votes in the Electoral College. We should have added two more, but they said, "Oh, you know, yeah, we just miscounted. Sorry about that. Maybe we'll get you back in 10 years. We're going to keep those in New York, by the way." So the bill here that had been proposed and was shot down by the Senate would, in addition to limiting illegal aliens, the Electoral College, it would exclude legal immigrants on temporary visas and green cards from the census. They're counting those people in the census. The move has been undertaken explicitly to stop illegal, you know, the Fox is calling them immigrants because Fox is a Chamber of Commerce mouthpiece, from being counted amid millions of new arrivals at the southern border. The Heritage Foundation published an essay alongside R.J. Howman, the president of National Immigration Center for Enforcement, warning that illegal immigration is triggering a warped representation in Congress. So you're going to have states that have lots of illegals, like California, and they're going to start counting those towards their population and getting greater representation. And for all the id that's being satisfied when we're scratching our belly as these red state governors are sending the illegal aliens to blue areas like Chicago and New York, they're going to wind up getting more votes because of it. So you might be voting for, you know, your guy, the new guy, the one of the good ones, but he might be edged out. He might be redistricted out. You won't even have your vote. You've now lost your ability to have a roof over your head, to have a job, to have a government that functions for you, and even the illusion that you're voting in that government.
Yeah, that man. Yeah, it really is an illusion. It's all an illusion at this point. You will own nothing, Steve, not even your vote.
Well,
and look, be happy.
Look, Garrett, I mean, the Fed, there's no white knight riding in from Washington, D.C. I think we can all agree on that. But at least in this alleged land of the free, a republic, a constitutional republic, 50 laboratories around. We have our state governments. We have our local governments. We can really rely on our votes. Our representation means there. We certainly have ownership there. Our tax dollars, my property taxes that I pay, are going to go fund the things that are really going to serve my family, my community. We could all be better. But we have the recent story out of Denver. So if you live in Colorado, you live in Denver, they are suffering from a lot of the illegal aliens coming in. And the Denver mayor voted to defund the police to just give keep, millions.
Just keep voting these people in, folks.
To illegal aliens.
Ah, Denver, the Sunshine State. There's a movie reference for you. Old school.
This is from Catholic Vote. Mike Johnston. How appropriate is the name of the mayor.
You can't make this crap out, dude.
He confirmed that the city will allocate $45 million from multiple agencies to programs for the illegal aliens. To meet this lofty spending goal, they will cut $8 million from police department. And it was reported that they've already spent like $46 million. Dollars. So this is going to be getting around $90 million that the city of Denver municipality is going to be rerouting from serving the actual people who pay the taxes, pay the property taxes to illegal aliens that are just camping out there. So you don't even have, you own nothing. You don't even own your local representation. That's where we're at now in the alleged land of the free, as you love to say, Garrett.
Yeah, it's, you know, it... Things got to get worse. I think that's too darn comfortable, man. Yeah, I think that's what this boils down to. You know, like Americans. Well, this is the plight of comfort. It really is. It really is because, well, the cycle. It's the cycle. The weak men create bad times. Bad times create strong men. Strong men create good times. It's the cycle. We're at the tail end of it. You got weak men like Mike Johnston. Oh, and Mike Johnson too, by the way, running things, taking your money, saying, you know, bend over and take it. You know, in the army, we called it the big green weenie. Just bend over, just take it. I mean, try to enjoy it, I guess, but eventually people will be strong again. You're not going to have effeminate men who have bought the lies of society that they aren't leaders, that they aren't meant to be manly, that they aren't meant to be strong, that they aren't meant to find a wife and have babies and create a stronger, more powerful generation. Like that's where we're at right now. Where men, they're living in their mom's basement. If they're not living with their gay boyfriend or whatever, or maybe even saying, oh, I'm actually a woman. Why don't you go and cut off my Johnson and there
perfect
yeah. You know, I have my moments here and there, but eventually men will need to be men again, and women too. They will need to be women, and we both sexes, yeah, I said it, both the only two there are, will need to come together again and say, okay, we're taking this back, we're going to start doing this the right way again. And I think it's going to take a lot more discomfort, because think about it. If you lived in a society where you had to, you know, I think of my wife's grandpa. He grew up in the Great Depression. He died in August, and he would tell us about how he would eat lard sandwiches growing up. So just pork lard on bread. That was bro's meal. For lunch, like sometimes that's his only meal. He'd eat in the middle of the day when he was working at the graveyard with his horse Maud. Like that's, we don't have a life like that anymore. We turn the water on. Oh, an outhouse. He was going to an outhouse. When you're living that way, you don't have time to think, okay, what color am I going to dye my hair today, and what gender am I going to make up? So everybody's working towards this common goal of making things good and better. And they did, and we had it good and better. And now, well, we're at the tail end of the Republic, like you said.
We need strong people. And that's why I want to take a break here before we close it out. If you want to be a strong person, I am a professional broadcaster, you should visit True Earth. TrueEarth.co through the show's sponsor. We want to make sure we thank them today. Go to TrueEarth.co. And you can make yourself nice and big and strong like Garrett wants you to be. Go to the pharmacy section there, pharmacy with an F, and you can look at all the different supplements that they have there so you can get healthy. Our goal here is to get as healthy as we can in 2024. Let's get healthy in our lives, our personal health, our family health, and make our nation strong. And when you do go there, use the show promo code AMRAD24, and you can get 10% off store-wide. And you can also look and see what they got as far as the fertilizer products there, and make sure that if you're homesteading and maybe you had a home garden and you want to see some really good results, I can tell you that I've seen the pictures of what they've been able to do there at True Earth, and it is incredible. So go to trueearth.co, use promo code AMRAD24 to support us, to support them, and get yourself healthy in 2024. We have a palate cleanse for this very black pill style show today, Garrett. But we did want to say thank you to people who were throwing us some rumble rants over the weekend and as well today. I want to pull those up. So today we got True Republic. Have you guys thought about doing an episode or series on the end times in Revelations? That has been tossed around, True Republic. We are talking about doing that and maybe bringing back a short story book study as opposed to doing one that takes a month and a half. So we'll be making some announcements of that in the very near future. We had another one from P. Sturgis. Thanks for all you good guys do. Oh, thank you. And thank you, everyone in the American Radical podcast audience, especially those of you in the chat. It's always really rewarding to see you there in the morning, ready to go and engage with us. You're always live and lively. And then I think on Saturday, we had a whole bunch roll in. We want to make sure we acknowledge those. I had to bump out of town, so it was pre-taped. We live streamed the pre-recording, but I was unable to really respond. But Garrett, you brought these to my attention. They're kind of tough to see for those, but we had like six of them come in, guys. And man, we really appreciate it. We really appreciate how you all have been supporting us here as we have this fledgling podcast. And we encourage you to just keep with us, follow the show, like the show, try to share it with as many people as you can. I think that we have a knack for communicating some things that nobody's really focusing in on. And we do it with Garrett's great biblical worldview that he's able to share with you. And I know that you all really appreciate that. And we really appreciate you all. So to the palate cleanse, as we hear it to close it out on a Tuesday, this is a video series that is called Great Moments in Unintended Consequences. And they're short, and there are three examples of government doing something with the best of intentions, maybe, and how it backfires. Because as bad as things are with like these World Economic Forum types, they're still really dumb for the most part. They don't think through the consequences of their actions. We'll give this one a play. This is one of the earlier ones. And then we will send you on over to the next stage of the Suspendables Network, the Kyle Serafin Show. Let's give this a play.
And now, Great Moments in Unintended Consequences. Part 1, The Yacht Plot. The year, 1990. The problem? A national debt that had exploded. The solution? A 10% luxury tax on expensive boats. Sounds like a great idea, with the best of intentions. What could possibly go wrong? It turns out that while wealthy people buy yachts, it's usually middle-income people who make them. This giant middle finger of a tax plan cut sales of luxury boats by 70%, sent companies overseas or into Chapter 11, destroyed hundreds of thousands of middle-class jobs, and resulted in a net loss in tax revenue. Turns out it was all for yacht. Part 2. Who's Hungry Mao? The year is 1958. The problem? Birds eating too much grain in China. The solution? Chairman Mao labels the Eurasian sparrow as a capitalist enemy of the state, kicking off a nationwide campaign to eradicate the species. Sounds like an idea. With the best of intentions, what could possibly go wrong? It turns out sparrows also eat insects, and insects eat a lot more grain than sparrows do. 100 million dead birds later, grain yields plummeted in China, resulting in massive famine, starvation, and deaths estimated between 15 and 45 million people. On the bright side, at least China learned its lesson about rounding up unwanted population. Part 3. Vaccination proclamations. The year 2021. The problem? Effective distribution for a vaccine with a short shelf life. New York solution? Create a massively detailed yet questionable priority schedule, then mandate appointments, pushing applicants, including the elderly, toward a buggy website to answer lengthy questionnaires and upload multiple attachments. When that slows things down, find distribution centers for giving about-to-expire doses to non-priority patients. When they throw expired doses away, fine them for not using their entire supply fast enough. Also remove the priority status of frontline workers who don't get it early enough and threaten to strip medical licenses and future vaccine delivery for those who don't comply with all the rules created and changed on a daily basis. Sounds like... Come on, New York, get it together. Just don't forget to cover up nursing home deaths and blame the federal government when you collect your Emmy. Great.
So those are three examples, and especially the last one, I think we all remember living through. Send you off here on the American Radicals podcast with a little bit of a laugh in light of all the darkness that is around you. Thank you guys for joining us today on a Tuesday. I really always appreciate the opportunity to have a chat with my buddy at GOB Actual, Garrett O'Boyle. You can follow me at Real Steve Friend. You can follow the show at AmRadPod. We've had a couple of Rumble Rants roll in here. We're going to pull those up, guys, and we'll give you knowledge. We don't want to shortchange you all, send you over to the Kyle Serafin Show, which will be airing here in a couple of minutes. I will raid the chat over there. And when I do, tell all those deadbeats that they need to start their day with the AmRad Pod on Tuesday and Thursday so that we can grow out the network.
It's only twice a week, you know? Come on.
But until then, guys, enjoy your day, and we'll see you back here on Thursday.
You've been listening to the voice of the Suspendables on the American Radicals podcast. Follow us on rumble.com/AmRadPod. Everybody.